The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Ben Stojkovic is the CEO of GreenX Metals. He's joining us now today. Ben, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Alistair. Yourself?
Yeah, fine, thanks. So I saw some interesting assay results out from you guys at GreenX this morning. Tell us about those.
Look, they're very exciting results. We've had the benefit of having archive core available to us in a German government core archive from 47 different holes that were drilled in the 1980s across our Tannenberg tenement in Germany. And we've just had the first batch of six assay results back. And look, we're getting exceptional grades of copper of up to 2.7%. And very thick intersections for a sedimentary copper deposit of up to 3.7 metres.
So that's good news, isn't it? So tell us a little bit more about this project. I mean, it's been around for a while, as I understand it.
Well, yes and no. It's sort of its second life. This is clearly a brownfields project. It's a Tannenberg project. It's located in central Germany in the state of Hessen. Now, the history of this deposit is that in the 1930s, the German government conducted a drilling campaign in this area and put down 95 exploration holes and found, extensive copper mineralization. On the back of that 1930s drilling campaign, they actually constructed three new copper mines in the late 1930s and into the 1940s to supply copper to Germany for World War II. So a few months ago, we announced that we had actually discovered that the drilling database from the 1930s. And we've also discovered a whole lot of old mining records, production records, maps and plans for the three copper mines. Now, these copper mines were operated up until 1945. And then when the Americans came through this part of Germany, they flooded the mines. So interestingly, the data and the records from these mining operations existed in archives in the former East Germany, in the GDR. And so in many ways, this whole mining district and the records underpinning it were lost to history behind the Iron Curtain. And we're the first group in over 80 years to sort of reunited the records and the extensive technical data set with the actual tenements and the deposits. And one of the exciting records we found in the archives is a 1940 historical resource estimate grading 2.6% copper with 728,000 tonnes of contained copper metal. So that's a very exciting starting point for a brownfield project to expand a modern day resource estimate. We announced that result to market a few weeks ago.
So a real opportunity here to sort of combine historical work with up-to-date practices. How big do you think Tannenberg is or could be then, Ben?
Well, look, that's a great question. So the tenement area, the land holding, is 1,900 square kilometres. But what I'd like to do is just talk about the geological potential in Central Europe. What a lot of people don't know or understand well is that there is a European copper belt. It's an extensive sedimentary hosted copper system that runs from Poland all the way through Germany. It is actively mined in Poland today, and some people will be familiar with a company, KGHM, which is a Warsaw listed copper mining company. The Polish government essentially controls that company, although it is publicly listed. But they are Europe's biggest copper producer, and they're the ninth largest copper producer in the world. and the world's second largest silver producer. And people forget that. Now, our Tannenberg project and our target geology, it is in the same formation. It's the same type of mineralization as KGHM mine in Poland today. I think last year, KGHM from its Polish mines produced nearly 590,000 tons of copper. So it's a prolific producer. Now, in terms of the upside potential in this Central European copper belt, there's a private company called Lumina Metals, which is controlled by Ross Beaty, the famous Canadian geologist and mining entrepreneur. Now, Ross has funded Lumina Metals for well over a decade, and they've made one of the largest copper discoveries, I think, in the last 20 years. It's a discovery down dip from KGHM's Polish operations of 21 million tons contained copper and 1.5 billion ounces of contained silver. I mean, that is a huge discovery. And the reason the market hasn't heard about it is because it's still in a private vehicle. So my point here is that there seems to be a tremendous amount of discovery upside in this European copper belt, which extends from Poland into Germany. In Germany, there's been a lot of historical mining across the copper belt from the Middle Ages onwards. And we're in good company in Germany. Anglo-American's been active there for 4 years, also targeting sediment-hosted copper. And they've got four very large tenements in the vicinity of the one that we have. So it looks like sediment-hosted copper in Germany is in vogue again.
So, what's your next move?
Our next move. So we are in the process of resampling, relogging, and resampling the 47 cores which had been stored in the Hessen state core archive. It's sort of quite unprecedented that the German government gave us permission to take delivery of over 4 kilometers of core. We sent them to a specialist core analysis facility in Sweden, and we're only at the beginning of that resampling program. So the very exciting results we announced today, the high grade copper intercepts, that's simply from resampling this historic core. So we've announced the first six results of 47 holes. There will be further results over the next, quarter and a half. The interesting thing about that is, of those 47 holes, some of them weren't actually done for copper exploration, but for oil and gas and for scientific purposes. So 18 of those 47 holes have never been assayed for silver or base metals. So there's even the chance of a discovery from this historic core.
Amazing. So you're going to be releasing drill results without actually having done drilling yourself.
Absolutely.
Well, that's an economical way to proceed, isn't it? Do you think you're going to move towards a resource anytime soon then?
Look, we've got so much historical data here. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a 95-hole drill database from the 1930s. We've got extensive mine plans from when these three mines produced, which have lots of details like channel samples and the markings of minor faulting. So we're very busy digitizing all of this data and analyzing the 47 cores, of course. And I think that will take another 6 months to do all of that. We'll synthesize all of that information, and then we'll use that to inform our drill targeting, specifically for the reason you said, to get to a JORC resource estimate. And I should add that it's not only Greenix, us, who are excited about this opportunity. In January this year, it was announced that Greenex had been selected to participate in BHP's Explore program, which is their exploration accelerator program. So it looks like a lot of the major mining companies now have sediment-hosted copper on their priority list for new copper discoveries.
I mean, I suppose it's worth mentioning that junior exploration companies all around the world try to get tied in with BHP on this Explore program. So it is quite a notable thing that you guys actually managed to pique their interest enough to get them on side.
Look, we're very proud of that, and it's been a pleasure working with BHP's highly skilled team on this project. They've added a lot of insight with our owners team, so I think we've moved along on this project very quickly because of that. We also were the recipient as part of that of $500,000 grant, a non-dilutive grant, which is being applied to some of this work we're now talking about, and including the assay results that were released today.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about news flow then, Ben. Obviously, you're going to be releasing some more of these historic drilling results. Have you got any other types of news flow coming up that investors should be looking out for?
Sure, we've got, as I said, we've got an extensive drill database from the 1930s, which we're busy digitizing. But importantly, we've got very detailed underground mine plans from the three previous operations. And the amount of data in those mine plans is prolific. For example, in only one mine, there are over 15,000 unique grade sample pieces of data where back in those days, they would channel sample every 50 meters along the underground workings. So that gives us an incredibly detailed picture of how the geology behaves on a local scale, and will ultimately inform mine design concepts and a deep understanding of how the ore body behaves. So we're very busy digitizing that, and that should also provide some news flow.
So lots to look forward to then. So before we close, let's talk a little bit about Germany and the EU. I believe the European Union really doesn't produce very much copper at all. You guys may be sitting on a massive copper deposit there, so that's going to be strategically placed. But you're in Germany as well, and investors may not be particularly familiar with what it's like to, have a project in Germany. There's not too many of them around, really.
Exactly. We have very positive experiences operating in Germany. They've got a robust Mining Act. The royalties that apply in the state of Hessen for copper production are exceptionally low. It's only 1% of revenue. And look, I think the overarching change that's occurred in Europe is a recognition by the EU and by member states that Europe needs to improve and increase domestic production of critical raw materials. We need to break dependence on imports from abroad, and particularly from China and Russia. And copper is at the top of the list of strategic raw materials. So last year in May, the EU passed the European Critical Raw Materials Act, and its stated aim is to have at least 10% of the EU's annual consumption for individual critical raw materials actually produced in the EU, and have at least 40% of processing of the EU's annual requirements conducted in the EU. So in order to meet that goal, there's an acknowledgement that policy needs to support EU domestic exploration, mining, and processing operations. And I believe we're the direct beneficiaries of that change in EU policy. Look, for a point in case here, you look at Germany specifically, they've announced very big increases in defense and security spending. That requires a significant amount of copper. Germany's industrial economy is dependent on the automotive sector. They are producing a lot more EVs, which require three to four times more copper than a conventional vehicle. So the German government itself, recognizing this, has its own program for supporting critical raw materials. Last year, they announced the setup of a sovereign wealth fund to invest in domestic German critical raw material projects. So we're really seeing an enabling environment in Germany and the European in general for all of the critical raw materials. And we're going to benefit from that.
It's been very good to see governments around the world taking an interest in mining after kind of ignoring the industry for decades. And I think that's part of the reason why the mining sector is beginning to show signs of recovery. I mean, are you seeing that the mining sector is recovering from the doldrums of, say, a year ago?
Absolutely. And I think initiatives like the EU's strategic project designation, which allow for fast track permitting in under 27 months, which actually, in some cases, provide EU financial support for the development of those projects. All of those types of initiatives will help move and advance EU-based projects forward very quickly. But across the pond, we've seen the significant support that the critical raw materials projects have had from the US government, again, following the same thematic. So I think rare earths are having their day in the sun again. But copper is always there. Copper is one of the most strategic raw materials, and it's all at the top of everybody's list.
Yeah, the bellwether metal.
The bellwether metal, indeed.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch you guys as you make progress at Tannenberg, and very interesting to talk to you today, Ben. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Alistair. It's a pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.